Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let's have Miss Jenny Grubb from Longview, Washington, going to call up in and sing us.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I love what's for to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be.
With my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious graves of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
I said it out here on your porch, Steve.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Brother Bobby, you going to sing us a song?
I was seeking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, thinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairful cry. From the water lifted me, thou say, and I love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, oh, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I claim. In his blessing precious love, ever his praise the same. Love so mighty and so true, Mister, my soul that's on. Faithful love and service to him belong. Oh, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Oh, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. So in danger, looked above, Jesus can lead his way. He will lift you by his love out of the angry way. He's the master of the sea. Jesus will obey. He's your slaver, want to be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Oh, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. Coming after you and me, all the joys we share. What a rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise. Heaven full that jubilee underneath the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting. On a happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Sing down now, I almost see all the saints are dead. Rising for that jubilee, just a hand. In a twinkling of an eye, changes will to be. All the living saints who fly to that jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on a happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. When we all most heavenly hosts will begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the bells will ring. Being there, we'll join the songs when and there she'll be. Praise and cry through all alone in the jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on a happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Oh, what singing. Oh, what shouting on a happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky.
Sister Millie.
Time the road gets rough and rocky, and the hills is hard to climb. Sometimes I feel so worried, and I can't find no peace. But a brighter day is coming, soon I'll step on heaven's shore. And I won't have to worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry when I meet the other shore. All my troubles will be over, Lord, I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be a soul, and I won't have to worry anymore. One day when life is over, and I've said my last goodbye, I'll see my Savior standing at the door, and I hear him say, you're welcome. All your cares are left behind, and I won't have to worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, Lord, I'll last forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be adored, and I won't have to worry anymore. Down here when life is over, and I said my last goodbye, I see my Savior standing at the door. And I hear him say, you're welcome. All your cares are left behind. And I won't have to worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over. Lord, I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be adored, and I won't have to worry anymore.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we open your word this evening, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the revelation, Father, that you would have us to receive this evening. And Father, you know that each one of us, each one that's present here, and each one that will hear this message, we all stand in need of something. And we all know that our hope lays in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, open our hearts and minds to be receptive. Stand with us now, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, before I get into this, I do want to share, I had talked with Millie and Bobby earlier, and I had talked with Brother James when he got here, but Kenny's online now, and Dennis is here. I went by a place today, a church, out here on 60. And I really got a surprise. I've passed it I don't know how many times. And of course, it sits back in a drive off the road just a little ways. And there's trees between it and the highway. And always going by, it just looked like a building sitting there. So I wasn't really sure what it would look like, but today I was coming back from Brandenburg, and I met Bobby and Millie down on Shoemate Road. I had been over next door to you, then I went from there to Brandenburg, then I come back through. I was coming through, I met them. But it got me thinking about that place, because Millie had mentioned it to me once before about this church. I thought, I'm going to drive in there and see what it looks like and see if anybody's around and if I can find out anything about it. So I did. I pulled in, drove right up in the front of it. It's a nice place. Nice church. There's also a big brick house back there with it. It's not connected to it, but it's back there on the property. The man that did own it, I knew him. I didn't know his family, but I did know Bob. Huh? Yeah, I knew Bob. Because Bob at one time owned this church right up here across from me. But he let another man have this one, Richard James. Lives in Brandenburg now. Kept it open for quite a while. In fact, I preached there while James had it twice, a year and a half each time. I had preached there almost 3 years. And we kept it full. Right around 80, 85 people all the time. All the seats were filled. Well, I knew Bob had that church over there, but like I said, I've never been to it. Anyway, James got to running an organization down that he knew absolutely nothing about. Because the only way you can know anything about it and know the truth about it, you got to belong to it. Because he got to run in the Masonic Lodge town. I tried talking to him. I told him, I said, James, don't be doing that because you're gonna ruin your church. And he looked at me and, oh, he said, I know. I told him, I said, James, you don't know nothing. He looked at me. I told him, I said, because the only way you can actually know what it's about is you got to belong to it. And he looked at me. I told him, I said, because I am a member of it. And I told him, I said, let me tell you something else. All of your deacons here are members of it. I know where they go to lodge at. And I knew all of his deacons. I told him, it's all your deacons. And I don't know how many of your members all belong to the Masonic Lodge. If you don't quit running them down, you ain't going to have no church. Well, he wouldn't stop. Then he ended up having to close the church. But when he closed it, Alex bought it. Alex had me go up there to see about reopening it, preached again up there. But it needed work done on the roof, needed a new roof. And this side, next this way, had settled a foot. And where that had been leaking and leaking through, it was going to have a floor put in. Alex asked me one day if I knew what it would cost to do the work it needed. And I told him, I said, well, I can give you a guess. And I can get close, because that was the kind of work I'd done for years, this remodel. I told him, I said, I figure it's going to run you somewhere between $30,000 and $35,000. He wasn't going to spend that kind of money. He ain't got more money he'll ever spend. He wasn't going to spend that kind of money. So he traded it to a guy with Midway that deals in real estate. That man put it up for sale. Well, the guy next to it there on the hill bought it just to keep it closed. He'd been trying to close it for about 20 years. And he got that for $5,000. What he gave for it. And anyway, when I pulled in and looked at Bob's church over there, it's metal, but it's really nice. And it is built as a church, not as a house or just a building. It shows it is a church. And it looks like, from being able to see what from outside, because I couldn't get into it to see it, but from looking at it from the outside, I'd say it could probably seat about 100, which would be good for us. It's also right across from a settlement, and I got an idea that while Bob was living, he kept a good crowd there. I got an idea they came out of that little community there. And we probably could get a few of them back in. But anyway, like I said, there's some little bushes, saplings you want to call them, growing up in the front of it and around the entranceway. I like my little finger and some as big as that finger, but none any bigger. Just a clipper or cut them all. I figured it'd take two men maybe an hour to clean it up outside. What the inside looked like, I have no idea. Until we could get in to see it, we wouldn't know. But I'd say as good a shape as it's all in on the outside, I'd say the inside's going to be nice too. I didn't know how to get a hold of anybody because, like I said, Bob himself died. But Millie at one time had said something about it. So I left there and went back to Millie's house. Called Bobby out front. Well, they've been out there working. They've been doing a lot of work. I'll really give them credit for that. They got enough wood, though, for the next 3 winters. Anyway, I talked to Bobby, and then she came out, so I was talking to her. She's going to start tomorrow trying to find out how we can find out about it. So hopefully it won't take a day or two until we'll be able to find out something about it. I don't know. Yeah, I know he's been dead about 3 or 4 years. I knew 3 or 4. And it hasn't worked as a church since. So I don't know whether they're trying to sell all the property together or whether there'd be a way we could get the church. We'll find out. And I'd say to buy all the property, you're probably looking at $500,000, maybe more. That house is a nice brick home, and it ain't small. And the church, like I said, is large enough that I'd say it'll hold 100, maybe more, once we can get in to see it. It's got a main entrance way where you have to make a step up in it, but it's also got another entrance way in for wheelchairs or things that way. It's really nice. Hopefully the good Lord will make a way that we can get to church. We'll just have to wait and see. I wanted to share that with all of you so you know I'm not just sitting around. Now, even though we decided that we can use the living room here through the winter, if we can get out before that, that's fine, you know. Because I'm looking into several. I'm also going to be looking into one right down the street, the Presbyterian Church. That was built, actually, by my sister-in-law's husband and his friends. The men in this community got together and built that church. Presbyterian don't own that church. They didn't have nothing to do with building. And I'm going to be trying, I know the caretaker, and I'm going to be trying to get in touch with him and see if I can find out who the trustees are. Because I know the trustees have got to say so over it. I've known that a long time. So I want to see if I can get them, talk with them, because they're down now to where they're running about 5 or 6. And their pastor, Presbyterian pastor, is a woman. She drives from Louisville out here. And every time she comes to her service, they have to pay her $100. And she's only having church once, twice a month. She only have it once a week. Because for one, I know they can't afford to pay her to have regular services at $100, at $100 a service. So anyway, I talked to Alex about that all back several months back even. I talked to him about what it would cost or how to go about pulling for them to pull away from the Presbyterian Church. And he told me, he said, that can be done. And he said, I can handle that for you and it won't cost him nothing. So it wouldn't be no charge for him doing it. So I know that they can do it, just the idea whether or not they do it. But I do know that their caretaker's not happy because they're not having services. And they never have any regular services. They haven't had a Wednesday night service down there in Alfred. Oh, I guess 3 years. Because it's just been going down, 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 and down. And today, something they can't just keep paying out on because it's a nice, that's also a nice church. It'll see a little over 100. I've seen it there for a long time. But then they've got a dining room and a kitchen with an upstairs off to itself. Right next to it with a breezeway. Well, not the whole breezeway, but kind of the roof, like with a porch and all on it. Past it, so you've got to see me. Because it's right down the road here. At downtown. I am going to be checking with them because I am trying to find us a church so we can grow, work, and grow. But if not, as far as we're concerned, we got a place to meet here. And this is all going out over the internet. And Kenny, he's trying to make a way to where he can get in and be with us regularly. So we need to keep praying for him too. God will make a way for him to come off the road, come in and be with us regularly. All right. Let's get back to our service now. But that is information, all I wanted to share with all of you. So you know, I'm not just sitting idle and doing nothing. Now, one more thing before I get into this. Saturday is Millie's birthday. So I want all of you to figure out something you can do to give her a hard way to go. If you can't think of nothing, if you'll talk to me, I'll come up with something for you to give her a hard way to go. You know, she's kind of entering into old age anyway. But I do have her birthday gift. Hard way to go. But I've got, but along with that hard way to go, I did get her just a little gift. It's out in the back seat of my car. You can get it on your way out. Just a birthday gift. You know it, you see it. It's laying there in the car, and you see the car. And two, it won't explode. It won't blow up on you because I didn't want my car hurt. All right. We're going to be starting here tonight with verse 145 of 119. And hopefully, we'll be through with Psalms 119. Psalm 145. He said, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Now, the author of this, where he's talking here, he's talking to the Lord, and he's talking about the Lord and his statutes, in other words, his word, because that's what his statutes are. It all comes from the Word. The most important thing that you and I this day have to remember, besides knowing that the only way to God is through Jesus. The next thing we must remember and do is in keeping His Word. Because that gives us all of His laws, all of His commandments, all of His promises. This Word, this Holy Bible we got in our hands right now, gives us peace. It gives us joy. It gives us knowledge. It takes care of sickness, diseases of all kinds. It gives us hope and joy. It gives us light unto our path. And it's a roadmap to heaven. But it's also one of the main things man is neglecting today. It's this Word. He just wants to make every excuse he can make to not take the time to be with others and study God's Word. And he's going to miss out. He's going to miss out going through this life because he's going to be missing out on God's blessings. We all get his blessings, even times that he's letting us go through something. He may, and does, he lets us at times go through trials and tribulations because we learn from them. Sometimes we're so hard-headed, that's the only way we do learn. We have to go through something that's hard and horrible to get the point. Well, the Lord knows this. Because sometimes he'll let us go through things. He don't give it to us. The Satan will give it to us, but he'll let us go through it. Now, he's telling him here, he said, I cried with my whole heart. This is something we need to be doing. We need to be spending time in prayer, crying out unto God for the things that we need in our life in order to walk as his child. If we will continue and do as he tells us right here, this author tells us here, as he's telling the Lord, where he says, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Once we are in contact with him and we are praying and talking with him and we make him a promise, you better keep it. You don't want to go and not keep it. But if you do, again, you're going to be in trouble. The Satan's going to slip in there with something because he's always standing off to the side, just waiting to slap us upside the head with something. Now, 46, he said, I cried unto thee, save me. All right? We do that when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we come to a knowledge of knowing that we need something besides ourselves, that we need someone greater, that we need Jesus, and we go to him crying, don't we? Now, we may not cry and shed tears, and yet we might. I've shed a lot of tears. But our heart is crying out for the help that we need and the things that we need that will only come from God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's talking about there. And he goes on, he makes another promise here. He says, and I shall keep thy testimonies. He'll keep his testimonies. Whose testimonies? God's testimonies. He's not talking about his own testimonies. He's talking about God's here. He said, I'll keep thy testimonies. Where do you get God's testimony? From his word. You see, all of this chapter, time after time, has done nothing except keep us in the word and in the will and the way of Almighty God. Now, 47. He says, I prevented the drawings of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Where is your hope at today? Is your hope in Jesus? That's where it should be. You see, Jesus is our hope. That's where our faith is supposed to be. Although we know everything comes from the Father, but it comes through Jesus. And without us belonging to him, we're not going to gain anything. Nothing. 48. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. I'm going to go on through 152. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. You see, his eyes are watching. And he's letting God know that he and you and I, we need to meditate day and night on the word of Almighty God. That should be with us at all times. I find myself through the day in getting around even. And here lately, I've been on the go quite a bit. But even when I'm out and in my car, there's things that happen that comes up and thoughts that will come to me that I'll just look up and praise him for that. And I'll praise him for the words, his word that I know, that I have in my heart. And this is what are supposed to be doing day and night. Now, we also know that they are those that draw and they follow after mischief. Those that want nothing to do with the word of Almighty God. They want nothing to do with him. They want to do things their own way. It's my way or no way. And they'll even go to the Bible and get a verse to back their way up. It'll be wrong because they're only going to use that one verse. They took it out of context, away from really what God was speaking about. Now, one day we all will stand before the Lord's judgment. That's something no one will ever get out of. Not one person will ever get out of standing that judgment before the Lord. Because you see, it is Jesus that's going to judge you. The word tells us that. Now, we don't want to be with those that's after mischief and evil and evil ways and doing things their own way and want to continue on. And we know some of them. They'll go to church. They'll even preach the word of God. And then go out and drink. That's not going to get the job done. That's not going to satisfy the Lord. Because for one, you know, I'm going to share something with you. Because that's exactly what a lot of them use in order to tell people it's all right to go out and drink, and cross around, and all. Because the scripture tells you, just take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. It's good for you. It is. But you notice what he said. He said a little wine. Because he tells you to stay away from strong drink. You leave whiskey and that strong stuff alone. He uses wine because he will bless wine. Because you know that that is one of the most pure substances known to mankind? Didn't know that, did you? Do you know that? Wine is one of the most pure substances known to man. Do you know that, Bobby? Why would it be? How can it be the most pure substance? Because you drink enough of it, you get drunk. And it don't take no whole lot of it. Not if it's homemade and made right. I got drunk one time on it. And hadn't even set out to do it. I was a young man at the time. Man we was written from. He'd made a whole wooden keg full of it. I was still in school. I got off the school bus and I had to walk right by his house and up a big long hill to get to the house where we rented from him. And he seen me, he hollered at me, and so I don't know where he was. He told me, he said, come on in here. I come in. And he was scraping mold off the top of it where it had been working. Reached in and got a cup. And told me, he said, here, try this. He said, I know your dad would be all right with it. I didn't know any better. I drank that cup he gave me. It was a metal cup. Wasn't no little bitty. In the middle, not like a dipper. And I drank it. I crawled up that hill. Mom seen me coming and she sent Dad out to help me get on to the house. And I got to the house and she said, I know where you've been. I didn't drink no more of it. That was it. When you get drunk on wine, it also makes you sick. But it did me. And most everybody I know. Because the sweetness and all in it. And it's all. But anyway, it'll get you. But that's what I'm saying. He'll tell you. And they use that. See, the Lord said, it's all right for you to drink wine. He said, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. And stay away from strong drink. And not to be a drunkard. They don't give you all of it. Just enough to get you to do what they're doing. But you could go in, like y'all working out in the yard, you could go in at night, sit down and take about 2 ounces of wine in advice, and drink it. It's good for the stomach. But he has said that's all right for you all. He and I can't have any. Huh? We can't, he and I, we can't have none. We're preachers. And when you go to our qualifications, it plainly tells us that we can be the partaker of no wine. He'll let you all have some, but he ain't gonna let me him have it. But it's been a long, long time since I've tasted any wine. And I do know one thing. I was growing up, I was about 11 or 12 years old. The man lived across the road from us. Me and him would go rabbit hunting. Wintertime, we went hunting. Coming back, he stopped at the liquor store and bought a case of wine. That was about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Of course, I went on home. And it was actually on Christmas Eve day. Along about 6 o'clock that evening, seen an ambulance back in to his house. I'm wondering, are you sick over there? I told Dad, I told him, I said, Dad, we need to check to see what's going on. So we go to find out what's going on. He had drank that case of wine. When they laid him on the stretcher, whichever way his head would turn, would flatten out. It softened his skull. Sure did. I mean, it would flatten out. Whichever way he'd turn, just flat. It softened his skull out. He lived. But he quit drinking wine, too. Because it didn't leave him in good shape. But that's what we're talking about. You see, that's what we see here. That's why he keeps continually pointing us toward God and his word, his commandments, his testimonies, his statutes, his precepts, which all brings us back to the word. Now, 51, he says, Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Now, this wasn't just in our day. This was back when the Psalms was written. But it was to last forever. I mean, it wasn't going to be no time that this would not be in effect. It's things like that is looked over when we read the Bible. When we sit down and just read, and we're sitting there reading it like a storybook, a lot of things like that we miss. Now, down here in 53, we're getting ready to get into tender mercies. But we ain't going to get into much of them. We ain't going to get through this either tonight. Now, in fact, yeah, we'll go ahead. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 53. Consider mine affections and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. The only way you're going to live and not forget his law is you've got to live with it. Well, you can't live with it if you don't know it. And you can't know it if you don't study it. Which means if you don't stay in the Bible, you're going to miss out on a whole lot. Now, fifth four, plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Make me, hold me. Hold me according to your will and your way. And hold me by his word. See, that's the way we get quickened. And then our spirit is built up. And we stand with our faith strong. Because we have been quickened by the Holy Spirit. We've been made strong. Now, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. The wicked, those that are evil, those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is far from them. You see, they're not saved. They're on their way to hell if they don't change. And they step out of this life in that kind of shape. They're going to make hell their home. Earlier this evening, I was sitting thinking, and I was going to show you a little demonstration, then I didn't do it. But I was going to bring a cup of water in, dip my finger in it, pull it out, and let you see just how much water was on the end of my finger. And that was the amount of water that rich man was begging for in hell. Just what would stick to Lazarus' finger. Put on his tongue. He was in that kind of pain. But then I didn't do it. Sometimes we need the little things like that, little demonstrations. Just like I told you before about people wanting hell in that lake of fire. Oh, I ain't going to worry about that. Mm-hmm. And I did one time. I went and built me a birch pond, big birch pond. And I left just enough inches away that you could walk into the center of it. And I asked him, I said, no, which one of you wants to walk out there and get in the middle of that? And I'm going to set it afire. Oh, you're crazy. That ain't nothing what you're putting your soul into. That wouldn't be near as bad. It's what you're putting your soul into. Because I guarantee you, the first burn you got, you'd come out of there. First burn you get in that lake of fire, you can't come out. There ain't no way out of there ever. But they seem to want to just keep going that way. Now, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Make me yours, Lord. That's the judgment I want. Make me yours. Quicken my spirit, Father. Hold me steadfast. Make me yours. Because when I stand your judgment, I want that approval. 57. Many are my persecutors and my enemies. Well, we all have enemies, especially when you are a Christian. and it's getting worse every day. And going to continue to get worse. Because there is coming a day and time, and the scripture warns us about it. To where, as a Christian, you'll be jailed and even killed just because you are a child of God. No other reason. We're told that. And that day, when it's here, you have to make a choice to either follow the Antichrist and accept his mark, or Jesus. And if you choose Jesus, they're going to destroy you. They're going to destroy that body. They can't destroy you, but they'll destroy that body. So he can kill this body. That's why a child of God don't have to be afraid. They can't kill you. If you're a child of God, they can't kill you. They can take the life out of that body. They can cause it to move, because it's going to leave that body and put on that celestial body. And they'll go on to be with him. Then they'll put that old body of flesh back down the ground, where it'll go back to dirt. We're told this. It's all God's word. A lot of them don't want to believe it. Now, many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. He said he's got many enemies. He's telling the Lord here, I've got many enemies, but I will not decline or walk away from your testimonies and your word. That's what he's telling me. I'm going to stand firm. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. We see these evil people every day. We see them all around us. Then as he works, he sees me on his job. He gets out and goes anywhere. They're all around him. We see them. Now there's some we see that we don't know what they are, because you're not going to see anything out of them at all, or hear anything out of them. But for the most part, most that are around you are not the children of God. Most are of those evils that he's talking about right here. 59. Consider how I love thy precepts. You tell the Lord, I love your precepts. In other words, I love your word. I love your ways. Quicken me. I heard that word again. Quicken me. Strengthen me. Hold me. O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. And we know, you see, God loves every man, woman, and child that's born on this earth. He loves that sinner. He's not the one that's causing you to go to hell. He gave you a way to stay out, away from it, to stay out of it. He gave you a way to come home. But he also gave you a choice. It's your choosing. If you go to hell, that was your choice. Because that's the way you chose to live. Now, we'll be closing with this next one. Thy word is true from the beginning. The word from the very beginning. God's word is true. In every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. God does not change. He has made some changes for you and I, but his will, his way, has never changed. But he's done everything he could do to bring salvation to mankind. He's not going to force you into it. You got to choose it. Which way you want it. How you want it. And how you want to live while you're here. That's why right now, over the last 60 years that I can actually tell you about, well, actually, probably 70 years, I have watched man's normal lifetime drop. And yet, he told us our normal life should be 120. They're telling us today, now, right now, mine and your lifetime, men's lifetime, is 63 years. The women are, their lifetime is 70. They supposed to have a few more years than us. But look how much short that is. That's only half of what God said your normal life should be. Why? Because they chose to walk contrary to God. Because those that are walking for God and with God, really walking with him, you'll find they live longer. How much time do you give me? I don't know. But I do know one thing. He's already gave me 50-some-odd years that I wouldn't have had. I'd have been gone at the age of 33. If God hadn't stepped in. I'm now 89. How much longer will he give me? I don't know. But I am hoping and I am asking him to give me a couple. I'm not asking for a lot of them. I'm just asking him for a couple so I can continue with this ministry long enough to see it straight and straightened out and passed on to those that will see and keep it going as it should go. Well, he's gave me two men, but he's still got to work with them two men, yes, because he's going to have to change both of them to work. Because right now, he can't do his work and run the church. And Kenny sure can't. Kenny's trying now to get out of that truck to where he can be with us. He's working on some things right now. He's checking with Walmart, for one. Driving to Walmart, where he can have the time. Where he can get off on Wednesday and get off on Sunday. And be there for church. And also, where he can be in every evening. driving as a delivery driver for Walmart. That's what he's working, trying to get a hold of right now. He's on here, so he's hearing me tell on him. And that's what he told me he was up to. Then you can hold Dennis one of these days, and he can give Dennis something else to do. So Dennis can be free when he needs to be free. Because I know it's hard. I've been in that kind of shape. I know what he done for me. When I had my own business, it got in the way. And I couldn't be where I was supposed to be. The Lord told me, he said, give it away. So that's what I done. He didn't say give it away. He told me get rid of it. The only way I could get rid of it was I wound up giving it away. Then the man I gave it to kept it weak and sold it. But he seen I had somewhere else to go. He let me know that. You're still going to have work. I gave the paint company away and went to work at the hospital. All right. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we close your word. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, for your saints, wherever they are, we ask the Holy Spirit to work with them, to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. In Jerusalem, Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. Because that's what your word tells us to do. Father, even more than that, though, we pray that all of Israel will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, that has turned its back and walked away from everything. Everything that belonged to you, taking Jesus out of every place he was in. Now, Father, help us to replace those in our government that has brought all this evil upon our people and to replace them with ones that will work for your church, for Jesus, work with us, to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, now, once again, Father, I ask for healing, for forgiveness, and for any need that those that hear me need. Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Kenny Powers, Gary Coates, Bobby Millie Johnson, and their families. Father, we all have family members that are lost, walking in darkness. We pray for them, Father. We pray that the Holy Spirit can work with them. Turn them from darkness to light, that light being Jesus. Keep them in peace, Father. Keep each one in health. Touch each of us, Father, because we all stand in need of a touch. One of one thing and another of another thing. But we all stand in need. But most of all, help us with knowledge. With wisdom, guidance by the Holy Spirit, given us of thy power, Father, to be able to make it through this world, doing the work you will call upon each of us to do. And we ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless. I kept you overtime, didn't I? Kept you 10 minutes over. Out there in my car seat, gal. For your birthday, it's what you want. It's lemons.
I said the wood working in the wood outside.
Well, I haven't got out there yet because I won't go out to try to work. I'm going to show you some other work I do. Look in there on that wall. And you have to go to the door. Or step this way. See that frame? On that wall? With that heart and all in it and them two pictures? I make them. Bobby, come look over on another wall. I do the burning and everything of it.
Home is where the heart is, right?
Well, I've been in woodworks all my life. I'd be in for one and out and in and out. But and see that kitchen doll up there on the wall? I made and painted that.
Hey, is that home material picture?
Huh?
Is that picture home material? It's home material. They don't sell it no more.
Oh. I don't know.
Yeah, that's home material.
That was hurt.
I know. Nowadays, you can't buy it.
You see, that dog, I made it and then put it together and painted it. Huh? Yeah. And that dog?
Now, see, I like your house. My house, they might do a mansion. Oh, like they have these mansion bricks. Look at them. Getting money on something like that, you ain't going to take a reason, right?
Now, I make, like that frame you see there on the wall with the sun catcher and the two pictures in it. I make that with four instead of the sun catcher in it.
See, KD, your stepdaughter, I'm from a little girl. Your daughter makes a picture. Your daughter makes a little girl.
What? What? On the top of the beard? No, that's all first thing. No, they ain't no big pictures of me here. But I want you to see.
Yeah, you got a good job.
That sun catcher, I make the wood that's just the sun, bigger sun catcher in it. In fact, I got another sun catcher right here.
That's a friend of mine.
Was in the outfit with him.
Robert, let's go, son.
Yeah. Over there.
That's April. No, that's Patty. That's Libby's daughter. And the one next door is April. That's her daughter. And then me and Libby down the end.
Where's
Cindy Marlene? Huh?
Where's Marlene?
Oh, they're around here somewhere.
Jesus Christ, me up tonight, you help me pray for a person, I get up and do it, amen?
Yep, that's what we're supposed to do. Now, what are you up to?
What do you mean?
You're wanting the internet. Yeah. You know how to do it? But what do you want to know that for? Because you're supposed to be at church, not calling in. No, nobody. Yeah. Oh. I'm getting ready to take care of yours, too. I told you. I've got that extra phone. I've got to get a charger for it. Then I'm going to let you have that phone. Because then if it does snow where y'all can't get here, you can call into the service.
You know what? Then you know what I'm going to do? If I live Saturday, I'll be 77.
Because even if nobody makes it, I'll still be having services. Because I got to call in, and all I got to take care of them too. See, I have to take care of my call in too. I got 14,000. Well, let's see. Let me see.
I didn't pay no kids in Thank you, Mom. Don't take me long. Jason had me. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah.
You got mama's book.